Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, our final show of the week, Packers-Colts, 3:25 p.m. Central kickoff at Lambeau Field on Sunday afternoon. Let's get right into it. Keys to the game. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you say the Packers need to do this in order to win on Sunday?
Well, protect the football, first and foremost. Mike McCarthy came out at the beginning of the week and he said, you know, -2 so far in the season in that turnover differential. That's a big component. When you think of these teams that Green Bay has had over the years, I mean, even in 2011 when they were 32nd, in total yards, they led the league in interceptions. So that's a big thing there, making sure that you take advantage of that. You know Aaron Rodgers is going to take care of the football. Indianapolis only has 2 interceptions on the year, a league low. So that really the differential, the big difference that I see in this game is if you can force Andrew Luck and that Colts offense into some turnovers.
Yeah, I would say so as well. This is the game for the Packers to try to start flipping that turnover ratio back in their favor. The other things I see, and they both kind of go hand in hand, much like last week against Atlanta, with this Colts team, you have to limit the big plays by T.Y. Hilton in the passing game. He's a speedy receiver. He is Andrew Luck's big play guy.
Return to practice on Thursday as well.
Yes, he's working his way back from a hamstring injury. He's got more than twice as many receiving yards as anybody else on the Colts roster. This is Andrew Luck's guy, and the Packers cannot let him make the big plays that can swing a game. And then also you have to get after Andrew Luck. We saw, you know, that final drive against Atlanta, 11 pass dropbacks for Matt Ryan, and the Packers really just didn't disrupt him, didn't get him out of rhythm. That can't happen again. You let Andrew Luck get into a rhythm. I don't care who his receivers are. He's going to have a day out there. And this Colts offensive line, this is their weak point. This is where they've struggled. Andrew Luck's been sacked 31 times. Don't let them get healthy in the pass protection area against you.
Yeah, I want to go back to Hilton for a second, though. One of the things I thought was really interesting when I was putting together our 5 key matchup story for the website, T.Y. Hilton, the Indianapolis Colts, 3-0 when he goes over 130 receiving yards, 0-5 when he's held under 80. It's amazing. Huh. There's nothing in between there. There's 50 yards differential. It's really either been black or white. There's very little gray area in that game. When he goes off, that offense wins. And really, that's, I think, where this starts, is you have to be able to contain him and limit those opportunities. But as you said, too, with the offensive line being what it is, Packers have to establish pressure. It starts up front. That's obviously, when you look at Andrew Luck, where you're going to have your most success. And also making sure that he doesn't, you know, scramble out of the pocket either, because much like Aaron Rodgers, he has the capability of doing that.
Yeah, and when you look at the defensive side of the ball, Quentin Rollins at cornerback looks like he could be maybe a game-time decision on Sunday as to whether or not he plays. Dimitri Goodson still in the concussion protocol, as far as we know. Clay Matthews at outside linebacker also could be a game-time decision, though Matthews on Thursday in the locker room sounded like a guy who was planning on playing and making his absence against Atlanta just a one-week thing for now.
Yeah, and you wrote about that on our website too in an interesting piece looking at how it would affect this defense if he's out there. We've seen it. Dom Capers has talked about it. The defense is different when Clay Matthews is on the field. And I think from Matthews' perspective, as he said when he met with reporters on Thursday, it is about being smart. It's about understanding the long game here. But at the same time, I think he feels comfortable with it. Again, we'll have to see how he gets through Saturday's practice before you can really understand it and know where he's at and going into that game against the Colts. But I think he understand the sense of urgency here. This isn't a dire straits situation, maybe like it was in 2014, where the Packers really needed to turn the page coming off against that loss against the New Orleans Saints, excuse me. But there is a lot of urgency there, and the defense wants to get back to doing what it does best, which is pressuring the quarterback.
Yeah, shifting gears to the offensive side of the ball, it sounds like Ty Montgomery is in line to come back and play after missing last week's game. Randall Cobb, not so sure just yet with that hamstring with him. And I'll throw this out there. You were talking about the T.Y. Hilton stats. Aaron Rodgers, 9 consecutive victories at Lambeau Field against AFC opponents. It's been a long time since an AFC, that unfamiliar foe type of thing, has come into Lambeau and beaten an Aaron Rodgers quarterback team. I think a lot of things along those lines point to a Packers victory Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And I mean, the Packers have done an exemplary job over the years against uncommon opponents. I know there's some they want to get back. You think of Buffalo in 2014, but in general, when they've had to switch and go over to the other conference, whether it's at Lambeau, as you said, 7 in a row, or on the road, they've been able to have success with that, and that's one of the reasons they've been able to sort of maintain that 7 consecutive playoff appearances, being able to take care of business when you have to. But certainly that's a big home field advantage for them. And for you look at the perspective of the Colts, they're coming into Lambeau Field now for the first time in several years. That's a new environment to get used to for them as well. So Get Loud Lambeau have to keep that going, and certainly can go a long way for this offense and defense.
For sure. Well, plenty more to break down on this Packers-Colts matchup with the game right around the corner. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, up front for the Packers on Sunday. All indications are Corey Linsley will be taking over at center for the injured J.C. Treader. And at right guard, T.J. Lang has been held out of practice to rest that hip injury, try to get that to calm down a little bit. But, you know, he spoke to reporters again in the locker room on Thursday and asked if there's any chance he's going to miss the game. He says, well, I wouldn't bet against me. He's planning to play, and that's the T.J. Lang that that this Packers team in this locker room has come to know and love for several years now.
Well, the most hilarious thing that T.J. said when he met with reporters, and I think it was shortly after your question to him about, you know, Aaron Rodgers' comments about him being an absolute warrior, was saying that, I mean, he basically put it out there like, I'm sure you guys as reporters, you don't always feel the best, but, you know, you come in and work and do your job. I mean, that's kind of an apples to oranges situation in terms of how the physical, you know, maybe, well-being is.
Maybe apples to raisins or something. Like, that's not even close.
No, I in pickup basketball or rec league basketball game on Wednesday night, I kind of got a couple sore muscle injuries and I can barely walk. So for T.J. Lang to be playing through that hip injury, Mike McCarthy discussed it on Friday, too, when he met with the media. That's who he is.
Yeah.
And the thing that's really underrated about him, McCarthy said this, he probably hasn't gotten the recognition he's deserved over the last two or three seasons now. He's become a pretty complete football player. He's really well-rounded his game. And yet, he hasn't gotten the Pro Bowl notoriety like Josh Sitton did when he was here. He hasn't been a guy that has really been recognized as a top-tier guard in this game. And I think when you look at the toughness aspect and how he's performed while overcoming those injuries, that tells you who he is, and that probably goes a long way to what those guys feel in the locker room.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe Lang, let's be honest, probably overshadowed somewhat by Sitton in terms of the recognition at guard.
Sitton was here first.
Sitton became a Pro Bowl player before Lang got to that level. Not that Lang would resent that recognition at all for going to a teammate instead, and it was certainly deserved on Sitton's part. But it was interesting asking Lang about Rodgers' comment after the Atlanta game when Rodgers called him an absolute warrior for battling through this hip injury and continuing to play. And I asked Lang if he thought how much it means to him to have that kind of respect in the locker room. And in a sense, he didn't really answer the question, I think, in some ways, because it goes without saying. But he looked right at me and said, hey, I'm not the only one. You know, he doesn't look at this as that he's some special guy who's right, like playing through pain and playing through these injuries. He knows there are a lot of guys in the locker room that have to deal with it. And he just considers himself one of those many, and when it's his job to do, he's going to do his job.
But at the same time, you also look at these last two or three weeks. I mean, he came out of the locker room late against Chicago when he was getting some extra work done. He had to step out for a second against Atlanta.
Yep.
And how many times, Mike, have we seen, not just in Green Bay, but in the NFL in general, a guy drops out, 10 minutes later you get the thing over the PA, you know, he's out for the game. T.J. Lang not once even came up as, really, T.J. Lang questionable to return. The guy's back in there within a series, it seems like.
Yeah,
he just finds a way to stay on the football field. Last year, he played through the shoulder injury through a course of the season. Now it's the hip issue. We'll see how that plays out. But the big thing for him is practice time. And Thursday, Mike McCarthy said it's very unlikely he's going to do much. He'll probably be limited. I walk out there for practice at Clark Hinkle Field, and T.J. Lang's dressed up and suited up with everybody else. I mean, that's just who he is, and he wants to be out there because that's important for him, and especially now if it ends up being Corey Linsley that he's next to on Sunday, they got to get back on that bike together and get used to one another.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of concerns about the chemistry issues on the offensive line when a guy like Linsley is stepping in, who was the starting center for 2 years. It really does become kind of like riding a bike for these guys. But that being said, Corey Linsley has had, what, two padded practices, having missed all of training camp, and has only been able to participate in two padded practices because the Packers only have one per week at this stage. So there is going to be some acclimation for him getting back into it, as well as the guys around him. Lane Taylor being at left guard, not a guy who has gotten a ton of snaps over the years next to Corey Linsley. So I don't think there's a ton of concern about it, but at the same time, there is a little bit of shuffling to have to deal with.
But it's like, you know, if you and I, if I was gone for a bit, I have to be gone. Who knows what it is? And Larry McCarron steps in here next to you, and then I'm suddenly back. You and I would have to get back into our rhythm. We'd have to get back into our routine.
That's
right?
True. That's true.
So, but no, I mean, all kidding aside, I mean, it's a well-oiled machine up there. And as Lang has said so many times, no one ever says, well, TJ Lang, he's an excellent guard. The rest of the line's okay. It's usually they're all judged as one.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes back to, is that they need to be able to work in unison, work and have that cohesion. The one benefit for him, I thought you pointed out earlier this week, and it's a great point, he will, if he does play, he's going to get the opportunity to do it at Lambeau Field. You won't have to deal with the crowd noise. You won't have to deal with the road crowds. And I think that, obviously, if that's the direction the Packers have to go, could work to his advantage.
Yeah, being able to play that first game after a long layoff and not have to worry about the silent count and the crowd noise and stuff like that, that's at least something that can wait till next week for Corey Linsley, if that's how it evolves. So, but we've got still more to break down on Packers-Colts coming up Sunday afternoon. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz, and Wes, sticking with the offensive side of the ball for now. Receiver Davante Adams making a little Packers history over these last two games. 13 catches against Chicago, follows it up with 12 against Atlanta. 25 receptions over a two-game span, the most in Green Bay franchise history for a two-game stretch. And boy, you talk about a guy who maybe is the hot hand, so to speak, on offense. It's Davante Adams.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to his career at Fresno State, and obviously he had an amazing run there. 233 receptions in 2 years, working with Derek Carr, now the quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. And the thing I found that was really interesting during that stretch, with all the catches that he had, only once during that whole run did he have back-to-back games where he had double-digit catches, and it was sandwiched between his last game of his redshirt freshman year and his sophomore season. He had some really big, you know, 16-catch games, but to be able to do that in back-to-back weeks is so difficult, not only at the college level, but especially now in the NFL. And, you know, for him to have the career day that he did against Chicago, the Packers asked him to do more against Atlanta, and I thought it said a lot about him that he rose up and really met that challenge.
Yeah, for sure, and it says something about the trust and the confidence this coaching staff has in him. Not that they haven't had confidence in him in the past, but with the situation in the backfield, you're really thin there. You get to game time against Atlanta. You don't have Randall Cobb. You don't have Ty Montgomery. So Davante Adams needs to run some of those routes out of the backfield, and you know, they put him in a couple of those one-on-one situations, you know, out in space in the flat. And when you're in that situation, if you can make that first guy miss, you can usually move the chains.
Well, we heard Dom Capers talk about Tuesdays, how that's the game planning day where you figure out your best case scenario and your worst case scenario. I thought it showed a lot of foresight by the Packers coaching staff that they sat down and they figured, okay, so what do we do here if we don't have Randall Cobb or Ty Montgomery? Well, how about Davante Adams? Now, they weren't going to ask Adams to run the ball. That was pretty evident.
Right.
But in terms of being able to use those packages out of the backfield, I mean, and I love the way that, you know, Davante said the coaches brought it to him. It was this, hey, here's an opportunity for you to get your hands on some more footballs. This is an opportunity to make some plays.
Yeah.
And Adams was like, I'm all for it if we do it in practice and it works out okay. And
yeah.
Certainly, when you look at what they do well, Luke Getsy, the receivers coach, talked about it this week. Mike McCarthy looks for ways to stress a defense and looks for favorable matchups. That particular play has worked out so well for them, whether it is Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery. Even we saw it with Eddie Lacy and James Starks. Being able to use those guys out of the backfield as receivers is critical. And Davante Adams, I thought, for never really handling that role before, did an extraordinary job being effective.
Yeah, for sure. And what I see from a schematic standpoint, and I've never coached football, I've never played tackle football, actually. But when I look at what this Packers offense is doing schematically, when you don't have that pounder of a running back to, you know, kind of wear on the defensive front seven, like an Eddie Lacy or a James Starks, the passing game, the Packers are using the passing game, stressing the defense by stretching them horizontally, getting them going sideline to sideline, so then maybe you can hit something over the middle because you've got them so concerned about all of that field horizontally to defend. It's horizontal, then vertical, back and forth. That's another way you can stress a defense without it always being run here, pass there. It's a different schematic approach.
And it's something that I think the Packers have had a lot of success with in early down situations too. You don't have Eddie Lacy there to get you 4, 5, 6 yards on first down. Well, you run a quick hitch and find ways to make yards after the catch. And you and I discussed this in our pre-production meeting too. The fact that the Packers have been so effective in breaking tackles during these last few weeks, Devontae Adams has done a tremendous job at that. I mean, and you pointed out too, the second and 21 situation that they found themselves in, they were able to convert a first down basically off of sheer will.
Yeah, that second and 21 in Atlanta, that was a key play in the, I believe it was in the first half there. The Packers had taken a sack or a negative yardage play and then had a false start right after that. They're in a tough spot there, second and 21. A quick pass to Adams out of the backfield. He makes the safety miss over by the sideline, and boom, he scoots up and picks up the first down. When you go from second and 21 to first and 10 on the opponent's side of the field, that got the Packers going. They go and finish that drive with a touchdown, really just another example of a way that a simple play can get the offense clicking.
And that is demoralizing for a defense.
Yeah.
If you can be able to stretch those plays out, avoid a few tackles. Look, think about that energy that the offense got off of Randall Cobb a few weeks ago when he had that play where he did the spin move, busted like three tackles, and ended up getting a first down on what otherwise should have been a surefire fourth down situation.
Absolutely.
He really turned the tables. It's something that Adams has done well too. And that's what you need to do at times, especially when you're hard-pressed at certain positions. You have to find ways to move the chains. And I think one of the adjustments they've made, especially in that particular situation with Adams, we don't know how much they'll have to use it again this season. But again, it was one more thing that they did to make life easier on Aaron Rodgers and allowed that offense to get into a rhythm.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll throw it to a break. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment of the week, as we usually do at this time, we'll take a look at some other games around the NFC that could have an impact on the Packers and on the conference picture in general. The one that jumps out clearly, the Detroit Lions heading to U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. The Lions at 4-4. The Vikings are on a two-game losing streak now at 5-2 with the turmoil of their offensive coordinator resigning this past week after the Monday night loss in Chicago. This is Detroit's opportunity, looking at them first of all, to really announce whether they're going to be a player, so to speak, in this NFC North race and in this this conference race for the playoffs. They haven't won on the road since week one in Indianapolis when they won a shootout against the Colts. They haven't been a good road team, but this is their chance. If they can get to 5-4 and knock the Vikings down to 5-3, it's game on.
Well, as the former pitcher Nuke LaLoosh once said, I mean, they need to announce their presence with authority here.
There we go.
I mean, seriously, though, you got to lay it on the line because, as we've talked about, Detroit hasn't been a great road team this year. Now you're going into U.S. Bank Stadium. That is not an easy venue to play in. You
no.
and I both heard that noise.
Yep.
I wouldn't be able to write in there, let alone try to play a football game. So for the Lions, this is a big statement game. This is about showing that, you know what, everything we've done, all the changes we've made, the way we've overcome Calvin Johnson, we're for real. We need to be not only in this division race, but be taken seriously in this conference. So this is a big game for them. And the Vikings, on the other side of it, you got to win this thing because suddenly you're starting to look at Atlanta last year with the start that they had, the start my fantasy football team had at 6-0 before falling back to 7-7. Not bitter at all. this is a really critical point for the Vikings to show that we still are the guys to rule this division for the time being. And you got to find a way to turn the momentum around, because this has not been a good past week for Minnesota.
Yeah, for sure. This is the Vikings have to decide here. Is this just a little bit of a slump, or is this the start of a free fall?
Right.
And they need to get this straightened out. They're at home. That's where they want to be to take on a key division opponent. Another one to look at in the NFC East, Eagles at Giants. Both teams are 4-3. The Cowboys are at 6-1, and they're playing the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
So let's just say the Cowboys are going to be 7-1 after this week. The Eagles-Giants winner stays within shouting distance, two games back. The loser falls three games back and is probably looking at no better than a wild card for sure. This is a crucial game in the NFC East between two pretty big rivals.
Absolutely, and then you also consider the fact that Washington's right in the thick of this thing, and they're off this week. Whoever loses this game basically falls to the bottom of the division.
Yeah, last place.
Climb their way back up. A couple weeks ago, Mike, you and I were discussing this about how Green Bay and both in Detroit were trying to stay in that race with Minnesota, trying to stay within arm reach of them. Dallas hasn't blinked yet.
No.
So it's important for a team like New York, despite all the noise on the outside, to still keep playing the way that they're playing. And for Doug Peterson's crew, too, to show that, you know what, that start we got off to, we are that team. So that's a big one that I think could go either way and really going to probably go a long way in showcasing who's going to be the teams that are going to separate themselves in that division.
Yeah, for sure. A couple others in the NFC to touch on quickly. Carolina is at Los Angeles, and New Orleans is at San Francisco. We talked earlier this week about the Panthers and the Saints both getting big wins last week. Now they're both on the road. If the Panthers can win and get to 3-5, and if the Saints win and get to 4-4, with big road wins, these are two teams to definitely pay attention to in the NFC.
New Orleans is a team you do not want to face. I mean, I know there's going to be opportunities defensively, but Drew Brees is on pace for a record-breaking year, can play with anybody. In Carolina, this is where you got to be sure you try to corral yourself and improve for that final stretch of the year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll call it a wrap on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. At Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.